I'm a huge L.A. fan, L.A. Law fan.
L.A. Law fan?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I was, too.
Well, of course.
In this day and age.
You were so great as Gwen Taylor.
Thank you.
And of course, playing against, his Arnold
Corbin
Becker.
Corbin Burnson.
Yeah, Corbin's, Corbin was on our show as well.
Oh,
and
was he?
And playing against, his character was, must have been fun.
It was fantastic. It was a great challenge, and the writing was phenomenal. That's when David Kelly was writing the show.
Right, yeah.
And he did some really great battle scenes, shall we say.
I'm surprised that you haven't appeared on some of the other David E. Kelly shows.
Yeah, me too.
Give him a call.
In
fact, you even have the same last name, so.
That's exactly right, and spelled the same way, too.
Exactly, so that should get you something.
Well, gosh darn it.
You know?
Mark, would you call him for me?
Yeah, the only thing is that you don't want to have him. You didn't want to be in that girl's
thing. You see, it's a hit and miss right now, and so you just kind of want to wait it out.
Yeah,
see what happens.
Girls Club would not have been a good move.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
But on the other hand, it would have been kind of fun to be on Melrose Place, or not Melrose Place, but
something. Well, you didn't do Melrose Place.
Boston like Public and stuff like that. So.
Is it still on?
Boston Public is still on, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Monday nights, as a matter of fact, we just had on Ann Archer from Fatal Attraction, who's starring in tonight's episode of Boston Public.
Oh, phenomenal. I like her a lot.
Yeah, so that's a fun show.
I have a 2-year-old, so I don't see much TV.
Now, you have a 2-year-old. Do you actually watch TV, the 2-year-old shows?
Well, not really, no. I mean, no? She's not that interested. My little boy was, so I knew a lot about Bonnie about 8 years ago.
Yeah, I know. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, she's just like, I don't care.
My daughter
is. And talk to me.
My daughter's 8. When she was about 2 or 3, she was into Barney.
Yeah, my son as well.
Yeah, we had every Barney video imaginable.
You poor thing.
And you had to watch it.
I feel for you.
And you had to watch it over and over again, because kids like to watch it over and over and over again.
I know. It's painful. He's a sweet guy for once or twice.
Yeah, Purple Dinosaurs and me, we just don't get along that well.
No, but now there's this little blue dog that takes you on clues, and that's pretty hard.
Yeah, that's another one that was a good one.
Blue's Clues.
Yeah, see, now my kids are a little older.
How old are you?
My son's 11, my daughter's 8.
Okay.
So they're into, like, Disney's Lizzie McGuire now and stuff like that, which is much, much better, because I can actually enjoy it myself.
Oh, that's cool. Well, my son is totally into video games, computer games, and Nintendo.
Yeah.
He's into playing War.
Yeah, my son is also into. Now, I've refrained so far from getting him any video games. We have the stuff that you can play on a computer, like his football stuff and things like that. But but I did promise him if he gets all A's again this year that he's going to get GameCube. So he's very excited and motivated.
That is so funny.
Yeah, I am not looking forward to it.
We don't have that in our house, but wherever he goes, he finds it, he sniffs it out, he can find it anywhere.
Now, how old is your son?
He's 8.
Yeah, he's 8. So, yeah, that's the thing. If you don't have it at home, then anytime he's at a friend's house, that's what he's going to be glued to.
I know. It's just unbelievable. Yeah. And I won't have it at home yet because it's too addictive.
Yeah.
I think these things are meant to addict these young boys.
Hmm.
It's like, forget it.
Now, you're also doing a recurring character on the show MDs, which is on ABC.
It is on ABC. Unfortunately, it was canceled a couple weeks ago.
Oh. And well, that's not good.
No, I was disappointed to hear it. It was a really, really wonderful show. William Fichtner and John Hannah were the two leads. It was a medical show set in San Francisco, kind of like the other medical show set in San Francisco. But it was a little bit more like that kind of MASH the film feel.
Right.
It was a really charming, wonderful, odd, quirky little show. And I'm sad that it's no longer on the air.
Well, let's talk about something positive. You just finished wrapping a film with Ridley Scott, the Matchstick Man, right?
I did, yes.
Nicolas Cage is in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the character you play and what type of movie it is.
It's a phenomenal script. I just know the film's going to be amazing because Ridley Scott, I think, is a great filmmaker. And I don't even know how to describe it. It's kind of a caper film, but a thriller on the same. It starts out as what you think is a caper film and turns into something other than what you thought it was. And it really does take you on a ride. And when you, I shouldn't even say this because when you don't know that it's going to have that twist, it just shocks you.
Have you seen this finished product?
I have not. No, we just finished wrapping it. We wrapped it in September. I have a relatively. It's a nice part, but it's mostly a guy movie.
Uh-huh.
So I play the girl that he likes throughout the film, and then he ends up with, and she's pregnant with him, with his kid.
So you have some scenes with Nicolas Cage?
I do, yeah.
How'd they go? Was it fun?
They went really well. He's an interesting actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good actor. He's giving. He was fun. He plays a very odd character.
So I assume you had some love scenes.
Well, no, not really.
No?
It goes from courting to, you know, pregnant within, like, the snap of a finger. You don't actually get to see the lovemaking scene.
Well, that's good for you.
Do you say that?
Well, I mean, unless you enjoy those kind of... I personally don't enjoy standing in front of a camera with, you know, 50 people there with bold lights trying to do things that are natural, unnatural on film.
I guess it's true. I never quite got that. I never quite understood. Mm. Like 8 Mile has that love scene, and at one point it was like, okay, this is uncomfortable.
Mm.
I'd like to look away now. I shall look away now. And then I wanted to plug my ears. It gets too personal, almost,
yeah.
Too intimate. But anyway, the movie's, it's really wonderful, and I think that Nick's going to be great in it.
Yeah, and I wonder if they're going to use the song Pictures of Matchstick Man in it at all.
I love that song.
It's a great one, Status Quo song. Yeah.
I love that song.
Me too.
I thought that was Camper von Beethoven.
Who?
Camper von Beethoven.
The original version, You're Young,
was by the
Status Quo. In the 60s.
Oh, there's another one.
Yes.
That Camper von Beethoven.
Right, that was the later version.
Oh,
remake.
Right. I don't, you know what? Shame to say this, I don't know the earlier one.
Yeah, well, you know, you're younger than I am. A lot younger than I am.
Would you send it to me?
So, you know, this is for 60s rock was my thing.
Okay.
So
80s punk was mine.
Exactly.
There
so that's
you go.
The age difference here. You know?
And it's not that great.
Well, I didn't think 80s music was that good, but maybe it's because I'm old.
Well, The Clash was pretty phenomenal, and other Lou Reed and stuff like that.
Yeah, Clash, London Calling was a great album.
It's phenomenal. So there was some great music. I mean, the New Age stuff was kind of over my head, but...
Mm. But Billy Idol, wasn't that the 80s too?
Yeah.
White Wedding and all that stuff. That was good
stuff. You're killing me.
I like that stuff.
Me too, unfortunately.
You know, it's interesting. You know, I love to prepare for interviews. I like to, instead of being the usual dolt, I like to be a somewhat educated dolt that does these interviews.
I like that word, dolt.
Yeah. And, well, I'm glad you like that. I can mail you a copy of it. It's a four-letter word, but I usually don't use four-letter words, but that one I use. One of the things I was trying to do to prepare for this was to get a movie called Dancing at the Blue Iguana.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I called 13 video stores, and no one had it.
Are you kidding?
No.
And
I'm so upset about it, because I was actually going to buy it in order to see it. But I couldn't even get a copy of it. So I figured, you know, I should have probably talked to your PR people, maybe they could have sent a copy of it.
You know what? I could have sent you a copy. I have it right here. I have like five DVDs.
I would love to see it.
Oh,
even though it's too late for this interview, I'd still like to see it.
Okay.
That would be great.
It's a wonderful, quirky little film.
Well, I mean, it's your film, too.
It's my baby. It's
yeah.
my baby I kind of nurtured for 12 years.
You produced it and acted in it?
Produced it, acted it, found the director, found the actress, cast it out of my house, found the money.
Wow.
I did everything.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, God, I wish you'd have seen it. Although, I mean, the great story of that film has come later.
Exactly.
What's happening with my life.
Because we're going to juxtapose right into that right now.
Oh, okay.
See,
are we doing the interview now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
We're not live.
No, actually, we're just chatting. That's the way I do interviews.
Okay, good. So you'll cut it up and stuff.
No, we're not going to cut anything. It's just going to go right through it. We're going to have fun.
I got to watch what I say.
No, you don't have to watch anything. Just, just be yourself.
Okay, cool.
That's what I'm doing, right?
I don't know you.
No, you don't? Let me check.
I'm getting to know you, Mark.
Yes, getting to know you. Oh, that's an old song, too. I don't want to date myself. Well, anyway, let's go back to the subject at hand. Now, Dancing at the Blue Iguana, the reason I mentioned that, because it's about stripping. And you actually did this movie and actually learned to strip. But instead of actually, and I watched all these interviews you've done on the media, and your husband is very funny. You know, he always gets a grin on his face.
Yeah, he's pretty adorable.
It's pretty funny. But on the other hand, the exercise program that you noticed when you were doing all this stripping to prepare for the role, that you were getting yourself in great shape.
Oh, it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was
so
amazing.
So what you've done now is you've created a class. But I want to emphasize there's no nudity in the class.
No, there's no nudity.
But the moves are similar with clothes on.
The moves are exactly the same. The stripping part, everybody in the press likes to say, oh, my God, Sheila Kelly's doing a stripping class, you know, and it's a big brouhaha. But, yeah, there is stripping. But you don't. You might strip to another T-shirt or strip to a pair of shorts, and that's just a component of the class. That's kind of the fun component of the class. That's women wielding a little bit of their erotic power around. The other component of the class is actually taking the movement that I learned in the clubs, because we shot the film over 4 months, and we had a 4 month rehearsal process because it was an improvisational film.
Mm-hmm.
So Daryl Hannah was in the film with me, and Sandra Oh and Jennifer Tilly, and we would go into the clubs throughout the city, sometimes alone, sometimes together, and we would learn from the other dancers in the daytime or when the clubs were closed, and then when we got our nerves, we started dancing at the bikini bars at night and stuff like that, and that was a pretty intense experience, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn this whole other language with your body, and it's the most beautiful and quintessentially feminine language I've ever learned in my body. And I've danced my whole life. I was a professional ballet. I was a jazz dancer. I majored in dance at NYU. We're going to get a little beep here because I have a call waiting.
Are you going to ignore it?
I'm going to ignore it because I don't want to talk to anybody else but you, Mark.
You know, Sheila, you're just incredible.
Anyway, the language is extraordinary, and it's beautiful, and these women's bodies were unreal. And as I was dancing over the course of time, I was stunned at how taut and long and lean my torso was getting, my legs, my arms were getting really strong from pole work. And I started to just adore this method of movement. And then I found out I was pregnant when the film was over, so I went and had the baby 9 months later, and we moved into a new house, and my husband had this little office out back, and it has a really vaulted ceilings, and I asked him if I could put a pole in for myself, and he said
no Sheila, I don't want the pole in here. Why would I want you running around trying to strip tease in here? No. He said, I'll be back in a minute, and ran and got one. Right?
Exactly right, man. I blinked my eyes, and there was a pole up. But anyway, I started working out for myself, and all these friends of mine were like, what are you doing, and can I learn? And I started teaching friends, and this was about 2 years ago. And then their friends wanted to learn, and then it just became like a true grassroots movement of let me learn what you're teaching. And I don't think I do there's a lot of these pop-up imitation classes of, I guess, strippers teaching stripping. I guess mine is a little more, a lot different than that, in that it's a lot of pole workout, and it's a real workout. I mean, women are sweating by the end of the class. It's really taking this movement and elongating it and exaggerating it and making it a really intense workout for people. So you're working out your entire body, and women are becoming addicted to it, and I am addicted to it.
So I understand you're opening up a studio, right? Sheila Kelly's S-Factor Studio?
Well, I have one now, but I'm opening up a larger one that can accommodate more classes, because I have over 200 women on a waiting list.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm teaching presently about 75 a week. So I'm doing 7 classes a week, and it's pretty exhausting because they're two-hour classes. And I am going to open a larger studio. I've trained 4 different teachers.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I was friends with Billy Blank many, many years ago before he started Taibo.
Oh, really?
And then, of course, he became huge.
He became
and
Billy
and
Blank.
Now I'm going to be friendly with Sheila Kelly, and Sheila Kelly's going to be all. I have a feeling these S Factors could open up all over the country.
You know what? That would be such a fantasy dream, because I'll tell you, it is nothing but goodness that it brings. It brings nothing but goodness in marriages and relationships and to women themselves. It's just such an empowering and beautiful movement. And honestly, I mean, like I said, I was a dance major. I've moved my body my whole life. I've never, I've done every aerobics, Pilates, yoga. Every other workout is geared toward the male body, very square and linear. And there's nothing wrong with having that part of your body worked out, but there's no exercise really geared towards a woman's body which is not linear and square. We're S-shaped, and we're curved, and we're round, and our bodies really do want to move in a different way. I've found in teaching the many, many women I've taught that women once they start doing this movement, it's like an awakening. They go, "Oh my God, my body just feels so good, and it wants to move like this." So I think that there's a real place for this in the world.
And of course, I also could see this as a potential videotape bonanza with a million copies sold.
I would love that. You know, I actually when all the LA Times wrote an article about it, and then 48 Hours just did a little piece on it. A lot of them are hiding the pieces. I mean, the 48 Hours, I thought I hid the piece because I think they're still scared of the kind of the onus on it, you know, stripping. But it's really, like I said, I named it the S Factor, and stripping is a component and a kind of a fun, playful component of it. And I think that I don't know if the world is ready. Honestly, I mean, I know I am. I love it, and I'm doing it.
I'll tell you, I'm ready, Sheila. I'm ready. Bring it on. Bring it on.
Send it on over.
See, I, what I think is that my mind is a pole, and I'd like you to wrap yourself around it.
Oh, that's adorable. Okay, but, well, let's have some conversation then.
It's conversation.
There you go.
Now, you've done a ton of movies. I mean, I'm looking at your biography here. It's just loaded with stuff. You acted with Morgan Freeman and just a ton of people.
I have. I've been truly blessed in this career.
Danny Glover. I'm looking at this. It's just amazing who you've had. Alfred Woodward and George Clooney and Kevin Kline.
Yeah.
This is great. Tell me, you mentioned about dancing, and I know you were a soloist with Westmoreland Ballet Company. Didn't you have some kind of injury that caused you to get more into acting?
I did. I had a hip injury. I have a condition called dysplasia, which is usually reserved for German Shepherd dogs, but...
Really?
Yeah, it's a weakness in the hip joint. It's genetic.
So you have a little shepherd in you.
Exactly. I do. And I had to quit dancing at the age of 17 or 18. There we go with our call waiting again. I wish I had star 7 us.
No, I'm just ignoring it, so you can too.
Okay. I had to quit dancing, I was at NYU's dance program, and I switched. The only place they had for me was the acting program, because it was in the middle of the semester.
So right.
They moved me over there, and lo and behold, teachers were saying, "Oh, you're so wonderful," and it was like, "Okay, this is just as good." But you know, I wasn't thrilled with that program either. So I switched myself to the film program the next year and graduated from the film school, NYU's film school, because I do actually eventually want to be a filmmaker. And producing and getting Blue Iguana on the screen was a humongous step for me in doing that. It's a humongous effort to get a film made, and no matter what size the film is, small or large, it is gargantuan. It takes an amazing amount of strength, perseverance, and commitment. And that's something I learned getting Blue Iguana made. You know. But
now, how's that done in terms of, you know, financial return?
You know, I think that it did fine. It was a very low budget film, and I think it's renting beautifully, and it did very well overseas. It did very well in France and England, and it did okay here. It didn't get the release I had wished it had. It didn't get the backing from the studio that I wished it had. But it was well received, and especially for being a real cutting edge film and it being improvisational and American. You don't see a lot of those films high profile.
How long have you been married?
I've been married 6 years.
6 years.
Yeah, but I've been with him for 12 and a half.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So he's seen like a metamorphosis in you as you get more and more confident in yourself and the things that you're doing. And this part of your phase of your life, Richard must be really enjoying.
You know, that's a beautiful question. I don't know. I think he is. Yeah, he is. We're very, 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 very happily married. If that's what you mean.
No, I know you are. I could tell just the way in interviews I've seen where Richard's there with you that there's an adoration on both ends.
Oh, yeah, there is. I'm pretty crazy about him. I think he's an amazing man.
And he's got his own success. He's on West Wing doing
very
well.
Exactly. When we first hooked up, I was doing L.A. Law, and it was my turn, and he was doing some theater and little parts and movies here and there, And for him to for me to have watched him kind of blossom on his level, and for him to have watched me blossom on my level, it's just, it is, it's been a really wonderful journey.
That's what marriage is really about.
Well, it is, but the key, Mark, is that you have to allow that change, and you have to be able to change in the same direction. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when two people change, and they change in opposite directions, that's fatal, I think.
Yes.
At least in my experience.
And not only fatal, but frequent, unfortunately.
It is, isn't it? It's a communication that happens, I think, with me and Richard, that when we change, when we're altering our persons, who we are, we do it kind of in similar ways. And I think that just might be the makeup of who we are.
Mm.
And that's we're blessed with. But we had a major revelation happen, and I think it probably has a lot to do with not stripping per se, but being able to dance for your lover. That kind of a, sometimes you say that to someone, and if they're an ultra feminist, they'll go, "Oh, that's horrible. How can you dance for him?" And I don't understand that thought process. You know what I mean? To me, it's like giving this beautiful gift.
Sounds fine to me.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it for some reason, somewhere along the line, there was a miscommunication, a synapse missed, fired or something, and feminism became about desexualizing ourselves, women, as opposed to embracing the power of our sexuality and understanding the male physiological response to it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It was, and I keep asking you that, but it to me, it's a no-brainer. It's so simple. It's a beautiful gift, and it's an innate movement.
Talking about beautiful gifts, you have two lovely children.
Now,
you are the youngest of nine children, many of whom have accomplished a lot as lawyers and teachers and artists and nurses. And you know, what was your parents' reaction when you said, "I'm going to be an actress"?
That they laughed at me. Well, my father is an academician. He taught at universities all my life. He's an engineer and an inventor, and he's truly in his brain. And I think that he gave birth to two artists, myself and my sister, my older sister. So he had a hard time for a long time understanding that, taking that leap of who we were,
mm-hmm.
and how to deal with an artist. But as he's gotten older, we've really gotten along really well, and he's really understood it now. I think he gave himself the mission to understand our drive, what drives us. So, but my mother was thrilled. She had said to me that, you know, way back in her family, there were lots of vaudevillians and dancers and singers and stuff. So maybe that's where I got it.
So, okay, now, so all this has happened to, you know, the L.A. Laura and all the movies. And,
uh-huh.
and obviously you're successful, and they're very proud of their daughter. Now they hear Sheila's doing the strip thing now. What did they think of that when they heard about it?
Well, that they understand even more so. They understand it more because it has to do with moving the body and working the body out. And I've done that I've danced my whole life. And that, he understood that very early because you couldn't stop me from dancing. I mean, from the time I was, you know, one, I would put music on and my body goes. So, I think they're really, really proud of it, actually. And they're, you know, they're very hardcore Catholic family. They go to church every day, those two.
So you got mom taking the class?
I don't know. She has arthritis in her hands. Otherwise, I would get her on that pole. No, but it was fun getting Barbara Walters on the pole.
Yeah.
That was kind of a kick. It was like, okay, this is good. Things are loosening up in this country if I can do this.
Now, does Richard like to dance, too?
My husband?
Yeah.
I think he'll do it.
I don't mean stripping. I'm talking about just dancing.
No,
you like to dance.
Exactly. He'll go dance with me. I don't think it's a priority.
Yeah.
He's not. I don't know. For me, it's a passion. I love it. I could go every day and dance somewhere. And
I used to always, when I was in my dating mode before I got married, women used to say, "Oh, I love a guy that dances." You know.
Uh-huh.
And guys, I don't think most men want to dance. They'll dance for the woman to make her happy.
Right.
But that's not something we go out and choose to do.
So you're not a good, you're not a dancer, so to speak.
I dance adequately enough. My wife would say I dance like a washing machine, but I dance adequately enough, you know, but that's not my thing. I'm not a dancer.
Yeah, I think you could say the same thing about him. Although I think he loves it when he gets there. It's not like if on a weekend I'll say, hey, let's go to Gabon, go dancing. He'll kind of go, all right. I'll kind of have to urge him there. But once I get him there, I think he has a good time.
Now, since you wrapped the film with the Matchstick Man, anything else that you're working on in terms of films or TV?
Well, I've just been doing I had been doing the MDs, and I did an episode of a show called The Division, which is a cable show. It's a Lifetime show, that was a lot of fun. But that has packed my schedule.
Yeah, I was talking to Corbin about maybe an L.A. Law reunion.
I think there was an L.A. Law reunion movie that
he was saying that there could be another one. Somewhere down the road.
Honestly, that's not something that I would be interested in, for me to do, anyway. I love that I came in on the third year, and I had a great run. I loved the character, but, you know, I put that to bed.
Yeah.
And I have so much more in front of me that I'm so thrilled and excited about. But I don't know. I don't know what it does to keep that alive.
Hmm.
Other than, you know, people are going, oh, she's aged
people
well.
Relive their childhood and stuff. And
I guess, you know, so.
Nostalgia's fun.
It is, but you can turn on, I think, Lifetime and watch L.A. Law anytime you want.
That's true, yeah. You can watch the original series.
That's true, and there's another show I did a year of called Sisters. It's on, apparently, every day.
Really?
Yeah.
They used to be on NBC.
Yes, and now it's on again, I guess, Lifetime again.
Now, your character on that show, I remember, smoked cigarettes. Do you smoke cigarettes in real life?
I don't, no.
Okay.
No, and it's hard when you have to play, when you play a character that does.
Yeah.
Because then you start to pick up the habit a little bit, and I've done that about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, you don't want to play smokers then, if you can help it on film or TV. It's not a good habit to pick up.
It really does add a lot to a character when you make that choice.
That's true.
There's a certain type of person that smokes.
That is true. We won't get into it because we don't turn off every smoker that's listening.
Well, no, because there's things I love about smoking. I mean, you know, it's a choice of mine not to smoke, but there's some pretty interesting things about smoking.
Well, if there was no negative consequences to it, I think I might have done it myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I used to smoke when I was a younger kid, and my track coach told me if you ever saw a cigarette in my mouth, I wouldn't be running track, so that was the end of my cigarette career.
Ah,
but,
good coach.
It doesn't have very good things. I'm an asthmatic as well, so.
Oh, you are?
It doesn't work well.
You're an asthmatic.
I am, yeah.
Do you know that is becoming so huge out here with children?
Yeah, my son has asthma, too.
Really?
Yeah.
People are telling me for some reason that Los Angeles is a bastion of it.
Well, that's because of the smog. But, I mean, actually, asthma is up like 25% in the past year or two.
My God.
In the whole country for kids.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's because of the environment.
I'm sure it is, too. My little boy who's 8 has about like 3 or 4 friends. Good friends that have asthma.
The good thing is that my son's on medications and plays football and baseball and everything else.
That's
and
normal.
Was on a mountain Saturday snowboarding, so it really doesn't bother him too much. That's the good news.
It is, but we had a little boy over once, and he had an asthma attack, and when he slept overnight, so his mother sent over with him this machine I had to hook up. And
yeah, nebulizer, right.
Yeah, he had to breathe into it for a while.
Yeah. It's a scary thing.
Yeah, especially for someone so little, little ones. Did he have? Did your son have it when he was little?
He did not. No, he developed the last few years during football season.
Jesus, that's amazing.
It is amazing, but again, you know, you get through it. You got to do what you got to do.
I'm impressed with your research you've done.
Well, you know, I always do that for every guest because I want people to know that I care. That's why I'm doing it.
That's amazing. I love it.
Well, that's good. And what we're going to do, actually, when this is posted at pmpnetwork.com, we are going to put a link to SheilaKelly.com.
Well, you can do SheilaKelly.com or you can do SFactor.com, either one. SFactor goes to the whole dancing site.
Okay.
And Sheila Kelly goes to my site, which has...
Yeah, the S-Factor's off of that one, though, too, so they can, in essence, you get... Yeah, it is.
Oh, good.
Because if you click on stripping on the top, it goes right to S-Factor.
Oh, awesome. Okay, good to know.
Yep. So,
good to know. My webmaster's doing something for me.
He's doing a good job, actually. Yeah. The only thing I would suggest you put up is some pictures.
More pictures.
Yeah, because you should have, like, a click where you say photo montage or, you know...
Pictures of what?
You.
Oh, okay. Well,
people that go to SheilaKelly.com want to see you.
But SheilaKelly.com has a lot of pictures.
Not many.
Really?
No.
All right, I got to put my pictures on.
The biography, for instance, has two. There's a picture of you dancing from the blue iguana.
Uh-huh.
There's a picture of you sitting down on a tile floor looking incredibly sexy. I'm not sure what that's
from. Oh, that's part of the character. That's Stormy.
Yeah.
That's the you've got to get a blue iguana. I can't believe you can't get blue iguana at Blockbuster.
I couldn't get it anywhere. I went to actually called six Blockbusters and a distribution center, and no one had it.
Wow! Did they just not order it ever?
They didn't order it.
Well, we got to get on them.
And I told them, I said, you got to order it because you're going to get a bunch of people asking for it now.
You're darn right.
So, I need to get a copy of myself, though. If you can send me one, I would really appreciate it.
Okay, I will.
You know, off the air, I'll tell you my address.
It'll be my gift.
And you and Richard can come over and have lunch.
Okay. We're going to come to Massachusetts someday.
Well, when you do, you'll call up.
I will.
And you'll have a free lunch or dinner.
Okay,
I love it. And the kids can play with my kids.
That would be awesome. Where do you guys ski?
We ski, my son was actually at Gunstock, which I think is in Connecticut, is in New Hampshire. But he also goes to Blue Hills, which is in Boston area.
Okay.
And we also go to Loon.
With Loon.
And we go to Wachusett. We go all over the place. My son's a big snowboarder.
Do you ever go to Utah?
No.
We were just skiing there.
Really?
Yeah, you ought to go to Utah.
Well, that's a good place to go, but there's a problem there, and that is that we have such a busy schedule, we don't have time to really take off and go somewhere.
Right.
My wife's a surgeon, and I do what I do, so things are kind of busy around here.
I gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
Just as you guys are. I mean, it's tough to take off time.
It's very tough, but I it's a priority to me and him.
Mm.
Just because it's such an incredibly relaxing and bonding thing, family-wise.
Now, where did you go in there?
We went to Little Cottonwood Canyon, which is Alta and Snowbird.
Mm-hmm.
It's one canyon over from Park City, which is where the festival is, which is actually where I'm going this weekend. Richard has a film this weekend at the Sundance Film Festival.
Oh.
So we're going to go up there and ski some more. But we skied all during the Christmas vacation.
Now, did your son ski?
He does. He's a pretty good skier.
But I would say Petunia's still a little too young, right?
Petunia. Actually, her name is Ruby.
Really?
Yeah.
It says Petunia on your site.
I put that as a joke because I wanted to name her Petunia and Richard wouldn't let me.
Well, you have that on there as a factual piece of information.
I just have to get that off there.
Yeah, I would suggest that.
I think I put that on there pre-birth.
It's on your biography on the site.
Her name is Ruby. Huh? And actually, I'm dying to call her Petunia, and it sounded so good coming out of your mouth.